What's up, y'all?
My future isn't determined by where I currently reside. Understanding your worth will put pride in your stride. I'm accountable to my call. There's no compromise. I set my own bar, and you better know it's set high.
It's giving what it's supposed to give. Ooh, stop playing with them.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Dashari, and I have a special guest today. Welcome back to It's a Perspective. Now, I know this special guest doesn't like to read bios, and he's not a fan of them, but I want to give a little snippet. Mr. Marquell Russell is arguably one of the best when it comes to the revenue growth for coaches and consultants. Marquell Russell is a multi-million dollar revenue generator, best-selling author, rapid business growth strategist, and coach who has earned the title King of Client Attraction and been called one of the best marketing geniuses of our time. His genius lies in the innate talent of drenching clients in a downpour of qualified leads that convert into more clients and increase profits. His sharpshooting approach to lead generations has helped coaches and consultants build more than 250 million in client success stories and billions of ad impressions, millions of high quality leads, and tens of thousands of clients. From high school dropout and former drug dealer to multi-million dollar rapid business growth strategist and coach, please welcome Mr. Marquell Russell.
Thank you, Dashari. Thank you for having me. Just one quick thing. We got to update the bio. We're actually over $1 billion in revenue for our clients now. So that's an old bio.
Man.
But yeah, I just want to throw that in there.
Man, that is so good. So how are you?
I'm amazing. I can't complain. I'm living a good life. I have zero complaints.
That's what's up. Listen, I could say with over a billion dollars in client success stories, I will be living well as well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
so you. So now we're going to hop right into it. The fan favorite part of the show is called That's My Jam. Okay. This is a segment of the show where you can play a mantra or a song you can't resist jamming, dancing, or singing to. So what you got for us, Mr. Russell?
So I'll probably say the first one that came to my mind, I got so many because I'm such a hip hop music head, but I would probably say I Ain't Gonna Let Up by Drake. I told you my music head, I'm tying two different songs together.
I would say
Started From the Bottom, Now We Here by Drake. You can't help but jam to that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team in. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. I done kept it real from the jump.
Yo, listen, that is a bop. I swear that is a bop. Drake did his thing on that one.
100%.
I love that mantra and that jam. I feel like that is coinciding with your story a little bit, right?
100%, absolutely.
So why did you choose that as your jam?
So, I mean, like you said, it looks like even in the bio, right, it says that. And I didn't even write the bio, but I think it was perfectly timed. But, I mean, that's the story of my life. Like, I literally, to date, we have $1 billion worth of client success stories. Wow. Right, people know who I am. I get to speak on some of the biggest stages in the world, get invited to dope podcasts like these. But it's like, one of the reasons I'm not a huge fan of bios is that it doesn't talk about, like, you know, I dropped out of high school in 10th grade, you know, I was a convicted felon at a young age, had my first son at 19, you know, went totally broke multiple times, right? So I started from nothing, like a drug infested environment, you know, nobody around me had money. We had food stamps when it was like the paper. It wasn't like the EBD card. It was like a paper and you could like tear it off like on a tear sheet.
Right.
And, you know, so that's the world I come from. So now, you know, the life I have now is like, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? So that's the story of my life, basically.
That's what's up. That is truly what's up. I wanted you on the show because you bring so much value outside of client attraction. I believe the gems and the nuggets that you drop are good for any business, not just in client attraction, but in life in general. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask, who is Marquell Russell?
So who is Marquell Russell? Marquell Russell is a man of God, a God, a father, a husband. Yeah, I mean, that's who I am, right? All the other stuff is like what I do.
Right.
That's who I am.
That's what
I'm an alchemist. I can take something. So an alchemist, by definition, I'm sure you know, is like somebody who can take like lead and basically take nothing and turn it into gold and turn it into something. So I'm an alchemist. Yeah, so that's who I am.
That's what's up. Okay, so we talked about it briefly, but I want to get into your story. Okay. Like you said, you have a true started from the bottom, now we hear story. I want to bring my listeners in on how you started from the bottom.
So yeah, so I grew up, like I said, I grew up in a drug infested environment. Everybody where I'm from wanted to grow up and get a job working for the city.
Okay.
And I didn't want to work for the city. I wanted to be rich. And I didn't know anybody around me who was rich. The only people who I knew who had some money were drug dealers. And these are my cousins and stuff like that. So that's what I was gravitated to. And like I told them, hip hop, you know, so that's the people who I listened to, that's what they were talking about. So I wanted to get money. So I jumped out on this. First, I was like cutting the grass in the neighborhood. Well, first, before we moved to neighborhoods, was in apartments. So I'm like, hey, knocking on doors, can I take your trash out? And then when we start moving to communities that had lawns, I'm knocking on your door like, hey, can I cut your grass? Right. So I was always kind of that guy. Then I jumped out and started selling drugs. Right? I knew how to sell. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I kind of had an idea. And then when I learned the math around it, and I was like, wow, I can spend 50 and make 100, 150, spend 150, make 300. And I can keep flipping this over and over. And I got really good at it. Really good at it is like relatively, because I still went to jail. I still did, you know what I'm saying? So I still did all that. So relatively good, right? So dropped out of high school in 10th grade, went full-time in the streets. At this time, I was driving to school, having money and all that. So I didn't really see the purpose of being at school, and I didn't see the purpose of Algebra 2 and how that was going to help my life. So I just stopped going. Got locked up. When I was in jail, my son, which is interesting, he actually graduates this year from high school. Yeah, so he graduates. He walks to state Sunday. He's 18. When I had him, I was in jail, right? So when I met him for the first time, it was in visitation, and when I was in jail. So fast forward, like, it's pretty cool to see him walk across the stage this Sunday. But I was in jail when he was born. I got out. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna do the job thing. The job thing didn't work out because right. I was like, they pay me $8 an hour. They make about $300 an hour on my work. Where I'm from, that's called pimping. Like, they make $300, give me $8. Like, right. I can't do it.
Right.
Left that, went back into the streets. I started taking the money I was making and started an entertainment company. So I took this hair salon, we stripped it out and turned it into a studio. I'm like 18, 19, I'm like 19, 20 around this point.
Okay.
Turned it into a studio. I didn't know how to rap. You know, I probably could have, but I wasn't interested in rapping. Didn't know how to do beats, didn't know how to work none of the technology, but I knew people who did. So I kind of brought them all together and I was like, hey, I'll put the money up and then we do this. So I did that. It started to go well. We had some success in that. And while I was in the club one night, I was introduced to network marketing. So if you're familiar with network marketing, that's like when they tell you, hey, all you gotta do is get two people and they'll get two people and they'll get two people and you build this big organization. Some people call it a pyramid scheme. Some people call it MLM. Some people call it different things. I call it something that completely saved my life because it exposed me to a whole nother world.
Right.
So while I was in it, I was introduced to personal development. Jim Rohn, Les Brown, T. Harv Eker, all these guys with Miles Monroe, these guys talking different, right? Tony Robbins. I'm like, this is crazy. So, and then that also led me into online marketing and direct response marketing and like how to generate leads and attract people to you, how to build my network marketing business without doing home parties and home meetings. So I was like, this is crazy. And it was like, this time it was just a whole bunch of white boys online that I saw doing. And I was like, man, these white boys teaching you all that. And all you got to do is pay this. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I was hooked.
Yeah.
And during that time, I kind of went through a transition from the streets because I was kind of still doing both. I was kind of one foot out, one foot in type of thing. But I got locked up for a warrant. And I was like, man, if I get out of this, I ain't doing nothing in the streets no more. So I got out of it by the grace of God. I just stepped away from the streets, went full time into this stuff, but I wasn't really making no money. I was just spending all my money, ended up going broke. My girlfriend at the time was not my beautiful wife. She actually was paying the bills, the rent, giving me a little allowance from her bartender tips, all that. And I was using that to buy more courses. And fast forward, I end up, one of the things I got really good at was generating leads. And people started reaching out to me, asking me, could I coach them on how I was generating leads for my network marketing business at the time. And then people wanted me to coach them. So I realized that this coaching thing was a thing. And then we built the coaching business to six figures. People want to know, how do we grow the coaching business? So then we started teaching people how to get clients. And then, of course, I always tell my kids and the youth I work with on the business tip, and just anybody in general, is that the way you make money and build businesses is by solving a problem. And if you solve a big problem, you can make a lot of money. So what I found, based on the data, is that there's about 500,000 or so businesses that get started every month. More now. And 8 out of 10 of those businesses go out of business in 18 months. The biggest reason most of those businesses go out of business is because they don't know how to get clients consistently. So I was like, okay, we're going to commit our mission and our life towards fixing that specific problem. And then that's what birthed Client Attraction University. And to date, we've helped our clients over $1 billion in revenue.
Man, that's the story. You guys, that is a story. Going all the way from nothing to having something is something to not sneeze about. Because, hey, listen, it all takes work. So yeah. What makes one get into not only teaching the business of rapid growth strategy, but also illustrating the task of earning the big bucks through client attraction?
Meaning what got me to like teaching it, right?
Uh-huh.
So honestly, I really, this was kind of, I'm hesitant to say a mistake because I know God don't make mistakes.
right.
But I kind of stumbled across all this. Like, it started off with me just teaching what I was learning. Because, like, one of the books I read, the first thing I bought online was this book. It was called Magnetic Sponsoring. And it was teaching you how you build your network marketing business online. And he talked about becoming a person of value. And then even when you study direct response marketing, it's about becoming a value leading with information. So I started just teaching what I was learning.
Okay.
So when I learned how to generate a lead, I made a video on how I generated my first lead. When I learned how to do this, I learned about this new tool, I made a video. I just read a book and I got a big nugget out of it. I just made this video. Here's what I learned. So I was just teaching what I was learning. And then I started realizing, wow, as I was teaching people stuff, they were implementing and they were getting results. And I was like, this is crazy. So it wasn't just working for me, it was working for other people. And then I started teaching more. And then fast forward, I ended up getting on stages and I had a huge fear of public speaking before then. And I was like, wow, I'm actually pretty good at this. And I realized that my gift, God-given gift, is actually teaching and being able to take complicated concepts and break them down so other people can get it. So I kind of discovered my gift and my purpose through this journey.
Wow. That's so good.
So I tied my gift of teaching to my purpose of not only empowering entrepreneurs, but helping people understand and tap into that maximum potential through entrepreneurship. And I was able to tie those two together.
That's what's up. And I definitely want to touch back on purpose and passion later on in the episode.
For sure.
But now, in life and in business, most people are ready to be successful, right?
Yeah.
But from your perspective, I want to know, what should my listeners do to just jump or go full out in their lives? Because I'm asking this because at some point you have to jump, right? You've done that in your career. And I believe that people are encouraged, you know, for lack of better words, by different things, or coached even. But what action, when does the action meet the time, the money, and the preparation?
So I think the money, the time, and the preparation comes through the action, right? Okay. So I think the biggest thing people miss a lot of times, they don't really trust themselves. Like, they trust everybody else. They trust their employer. Like, they trust that tomorrow when they get up and go to work, that job is going to be there. They trust that. But they don't trust, some people don't, they don't trust that if this job goes away, that they're going to be able to figure it out.
Okay.
Right? So I think the biggest thing is like trusting yourself. That's number one. And being willing to take action in the midst of the unknown, right? Because that's where the magic happens, in the unknown. So being okay, having a vision, and then willing to take that first step and then take another step and then take another step without having it all figured out, without all the dots connecting, without everything making sense, but actually taking those steps toward that vision. And what will happen is once you decide, the universe basically, everything aligns to where you start meeting the right people. You start learning the right information. You start being gravitated because you're in alignment mm-hmm. with what you're supposed to be doing.
So you found that through your career, you just started taking the steps. And then over time, you just start making the correct steps. And then it just keeps going in the trajectory that you want to go.
For sure. Because think about it. You can only take the correct step by taking the wrong step, typically. Ooh. So even if you think about a child.
Yeah.
Right? You got kids?
No, I don't. I'm 22.
Perfect. Yeah. So that's amazing what you're doing when you're only 22. That's amazing. So first, I want to give you a kudos. That's huge. That's major. I'm gonna come up by the time you turn 25, even, like, I can only imagine what you're gonna be doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So with kids.
Okay.
You know some kids.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. So with kids, it's like they only learn how to walk by being willing to what?
Fall.
What if they were like, well, I ain't gonna take a step till I get this thing perfect. They would never walk.
Yeah.
They would never walk. So it's like they take a step or half a step and then fall. Mm-hmm. And they get up, do it again. Get up, do it again. Then eventually they'll be able to start taking more steps, but they're off balance.
Right.
So it looks kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But as kids, they don't have this stuff that adults have where we feel like we got to have it perfect.
Right.
They walking all off balance, but they like, I'm on to something. Then before you know it, their legs get a little more stronger. They start standing up straight. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, they're running.
Yeah.
But you got to be willing to fall.
Man, that's so good. You guys, write that nugget down. Because that was really good. I believe that we need to get back to our child selves. Because, you know, our adult selves have been through, you know, some things that have allowed us to say, oh, I don't know about that. But, you know, as children, you know, we have a little bit of a naive sense where we can say, I could do that and maybe not have, you know, any repercussions about it, you know. Mm-hmm. So you stated that, quote, people want to do business with specialists, not generalists. I thought that bar was so dope because many people like to generalize in business. So talk to me about how you avoid becoming the generalist and how does one step into being the specialist?
For sure. So I think, so a lot of times people, we kind of buy into a lot of cliches, right? So we buy into cliches like you got to have multiple streams of income or I'm a jack of all trades, a master of none. Like, that's not anything to brag about. Like, I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. Like, that's, I get it, and it rolls off, but it's like, masters are what attract money because people want to do business with excellence. Mastery takes time. So I'm going to give you an example. So it's this book called Outliers by this dude named, what's my man name? It'll come to me in a second. But long story short, he talks about 10,000 hours. He said it takes you 10,000 hours to master something, right? So I did the math and was like, if you focus 40 hours a week developing your master, your craft, most people can't invest 40 hours a week. They can only do a little bit here and there, right? But let's just say they did 40 hours, like a full work schedule. It would still take 5 years to get to 10,000 hours.
Okay.
So imagine if you're trying to master five things at one time. How much time is that going to take? Right. What if you decided to just focus in on one thing, right? So for example, how long have you been doing this podcast?
Not long at all. Just started this year.
Perfect. So how you are now, were you super confident when you first started?
Nah, not really.
Can you look back at some of your past episodes and see how you're already better?
Of course.
Imagine how great you're going to be 5 years from now. Or even a year from now, because of the repetitions.
Yes.
Right. It's about doing it over and over and over and over and over again, and now you become you're in the process of mastery. You know what I'm saying? But it takes time, and people want to do business with specialists because they know you have a certain level of mastery.
Right.
Because they're paying you for a service. Not only they're not just paying you for a service; they're paying you for an outcome.
Mm.
So they want to know that you have some specialty or some mastery in helping people get these specific outcomes.
Right.
But if you all over the place, you do this sometimes, you do this sometimes, you do this sometimes, you do this sometimes, I don't know what you're good at. It just seems like you're mediocre in a lot of different things.
Ooh, that's so good.
You said you're okay in a lot of things, but you're not excellent at one specific thing.
Man, that's so good. Yes, it makes a lot of sense. And you hear a lot of motivational speakers and things like that preach, you know, the things that you said, the cliche things that, yep. that jack of all trades, master of none. I think that it's so important for us to learn this new perspective, because mm-hmm. if we can't be a master at one thing, how can we teach people, or how can we expect people to, you know, support if we can't even hone in on one thing? I think that's super important. I think that's
100%. 100%.
Yeah. I believe you've broken the generational trend to live the same way you did, which brings most people comfortability. Mm-hmm. How did you break away from the comfort?
You said break away from the comfort?
Yeah.
Well, I guess the biggest way of breaking away from the comfort is I wasn't comfortable. Right.
Okay.
So one of the things is like I've been extremely blessed to be able to whatever I did, I've been able to make money. Right. So I like to use the term like God has blessed me wherever I was planted in different seasons.
Right.
So some people may be like, especially they super like deep, they'll be like, what do you mean? Like God was blessing you when you was in the streets? Like, absolutely. Right. Otherwise I wouldn't be here. Otherwise, like God speaks to you wherever you are. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like even stories in the Bible, when people was in jail and God spoke to them. Some people who super deep, they try to make you seem like, well, God only speaks to the deep Christians and mm-hmm. the ones who be in church every day. No. Yeah. That's not true. God speaks to everybody. It's like, are you listening? Was I listening? No. Not in many cases, right? I wouldn't even know where the awareness wasn't there. But as I look back, and you can really only connect the dots looking back, as I look back, I can see the favor of God on my life even through those times.
Right.
Based on where I am now, because I done been in some situations that most people wouldn't survive. A lot of my homies who I grew up with got life in prison, 25 years in prison, dead, all different type of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I'm not saying that I was better, not saying that God had a different plan for my life than them, but that's just kind of how things unfolded, right? So I think at every one of those stages, I wasn't necessarily ever comfortable.
Okay.
I always like wanted more. So even when I was in the streets, I wasn't the one who was just like doing what I was doing, but I had an entertainment company. So people always saw me as like enterprising, even when I was in like high school, middle school. So like high school, I was, you know, some people are known for like playing basketball. Some people are known for playing football. Some people are known for this. Some people are known for having the girls. Some people, I was known as the guy who had the weed. So it was like, if you want weed, go see, you know what I'm saying? So but I was always enterprising. I'm like, okay, well, this is an opportunity. But even then I was like, okay, I'm gonna start a label. I'm gonna do this. And people who know me knew I always kind of been on that, because I was never like comfortable. I always wanted more. Mm-hmm. And I wanted for my family at some point be set up in a different situation than I was, because I had to figure all this stuff out on my own for the most part.
Man, I think that's really full circle, because you was given the green, now you got the green.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I like that.
Yeah. Could you give those listening two keys that they could use to potentially build clientele?
Yes. And it goes back to one of the first things you said. Number one, I would say specializing.
Okay.
Getting crystal clear on two things. Who it is that you serve.
Okay.
And then how do you serve them? Okay. So what's the problem that these people have? And how do you help them solve that problem? And being able to put it in one sentence. So like, I help blank do blank. So I help women lose baby fat, or I help men get ripped abs, or I help entrepreneurs become CEOs, or whatever that looks like. I'm just kind of throwing some stuff out there. Mm-hmm. So that's number one, that's the first one. Number two, on learning how to tap into that and turn people who aren't clients, people like you turn complete strangers into clients. So being able to tap into the audience based on who you serve, how you serve them, and being able to take them from where they are to actually going through a process to actually become a client.
Write that down, y'all. Write it down. Mm-hmm. I help blank do blank.
Yep.
And how I can turn that in to building clientele. That's so good.
100%.
Okay, so Client Attraction University, over $1 billion dollars. How did you break the barriers of gaining great marketing so that you don't have to go through the unnecessary selling?
So I just became obsessive with learning this stuff, right? I just became obsessive with, so first of all, when I understood, like, hey, it was, dude was like, you can attract people to you and become magnetic versus, you can become the hunted versus the hunter.
Ooh.
And I was like,
Yeah.
So, and I was obsessed with it. So I was obsessed and I was like, I want to learn everything there is to know about marketing and direct response and human psychology. Mm-hmm. Moving people and getting people to buy is all human psychology. So you want to get, and one of my mentors said early on in my life, he was like, you want to get good at moving people without touching them. And the way you move people without touching them is understanding human psychology, understanding their desires, understanding their needs. And of course, using moving with integrity, because this stuff can also be, can be used for good and it can be used for bad.
Mm-hmm.
So first, leading from a standpoint of integrity, but just being obsessive with, it doesn't matter how great a product or service you have, the greatest, the best marketer always wins. So it's like, some people listen to us right now, they know people who can make amazing hamburgers. Like, they got family members who can make amazing hamburgers.
Right.
The best.
Mm-hmm.
But who sells the most hamburgers? McDonald's.
Right.
They don't have the best hamburgers.
Yeah.
I don't even recommend people eat it. But they sell the most of it because they have the best marketing and they have the best system to produce burgers.
Man.
Fried chicken. Like, how many people you probably know some people who make amazing fried chicken.
Yeah, I do.
But who sells the most fried chicken? Chick-fil-A.
Come on.
That's the marketing crazy. And the system.
Yeah. But the thing that I want to ask is, how do you scale that? Because of course you can market, you know, and go out there, because I'm sure many of people who are listening have gone out there and bought ads and done the things. But we can watch the documentaries on McDonald's. I'm sure Chick-fil-A hasn't put one out yet. But how do you market that?
How do you scale your marketing, or how do you market?
How do you scale your marketing?
Got it. So great question. So I think the first thing before scaling the marketing is to, like, get it done one time. So how can I do this one time? So, like, how do I take somebody from not knowing me to becoming a client or becoming a lead, first and foremost?
Okay.
How do I do that one time? And then you analyze what worked.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're like, okay, how do I do this again in a systematic way? Okay. So for example, if you're like, all right, cool. Let's say you generate leads. And let's say you was giving away something for free, like how to start a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Free video reviews, how to start a podcast. But you got to opt in your name, email, phone number. And let's say for every 10 people that go to the website, 2 actually give you their information. So you're like, okay, cool. I got a 20% conversion rate. All right, cool. So you're like, all right, what'll happen if I drive 50 people to this page? So you're like, okay, let's get 50 people to the page. Let's say you go run some ads. You go drive 50 people to the page.
Okay.
And let's say you get, 10 people to opt in. You're like, okay, cool. Still 20% of the people are going to this page.
Right.
Now you're like, all right, let's see what happens if we get 100 people to the page. And it's still, the numbers are still staying the same. And now you're like, okay, what do I personally have to do in this process? So maybe it's you creating content. So now you might multiply. Because scale is essentially doing what worked when you were in the growth phase.
Mm-hmm.
Just like multiplying that. It's not necessarily doing more stuff. It's just like multiplying what worked. So if you get a system where you can take strangers to leads and then leads to clients, and you do that one time, then you zoom out and you say, okay, let's do that again and see if we can, if it's a systematic approach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then let's do it over and over and over and over again. Does that make sense? So for now, that's why I use the McDonald's example. It's like, all right, they was like, all we gonna do is burgers and fries.
Right.
Do for the bread, boom, boom. All right, cool. That worked with a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, can we serve more people with this? And now it's like, let's add a few more things. And now it's like 1 billion people served, but running that same system because they figured it out one time.
Man.
Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. That's so good. That is so good. So you made the post that said, I got friends with degrees, LLCs, and felonies. I've learned a lot from them all. I can only imagine what all of them have taught you. But could you give us a few things that you may have learned?
For sure. There's so many. So when I first got into the streets, right, doing one of my first businesses, the pharmaceuticals, one of the things that I learned was like everything's supposed to weigh a certain amount, because I was just kind of freestyling it. But he was like, nah, everything should weigh a certain amount. The bag should weigh a certain amount, because it's math. And I was like, okay. So that number two, I would say that was felonies. Degrees, I would say, probably degrees. So these are degrees and LLCs. I would say, if you could have everything you wanted in life, think in the way you think you have it already.
Ooh,
so that means you got to up level your thinking, right?
Yeah.
Another thing I would say, the amount of money you make is directly proportional to the amount of value that you put into the marketplace. Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the top three.
And the amount of value you add into the marketplace, is that stocks or is that just in life in general?
Just in life in general.
Okay.
So just in life in general. So basically, so the value that you put out, so like whether that's content, whether that's advice, whether whatever it is that you actually put now into the marketplace to serve other people.
Man, that is so good. Yeah. That is so good. You've essentially become a motivational speaker who gives tons of value when you get on the mic, I would say. How do you believe this transition happened for you?
So great question. So I actually, I'm not sure. It actually, like I say, a lot of this kind of came crazy. So it's like, so a lot of people call me, or some people call me motivational speaker, and I get what they mean, right?
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times I just kind of show up and just speak my truth, right? And I just, right, I think, right. So you asked how did the transition came. So I think it came from me just being comfortable in my own skin.
Mm.
Understand that I could show up how I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, and everything that I've gone through has made me who I am. And all of that, even this crazy stuff, was actually part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff that some people may see, or even I may have saw at a certain point as a disadvantage, is actually a big advantage for me, because I overcame a lot of stuff that would have took most people out. Right. So that's a huge advantage for me, even in this world.
So do you think that, you know, transitioning to the stage was a hard feat for you? And I know you said that it, you know, just came to you, but like, do you believe that transition from, you know, like teaching people, I believe that you taught them online, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in person, do you think that transition, you know, kind of was difficult, or you think it was easy?
I think it was difficult. Like, I used to have a huge fear of public speaking. Like, I used to, in school, I would take the lower grade if I didn't have to present. So if we did a project and I didn't have to present, I would take the lower grade. So I used to have a huge fear of public speaking.
Wow. So
it definitely wasn't easy. I embraced it, but it definitely wasn't easy.
That's so cool. Yeah. I think that's so cool, because you know, you don't expect those who have a fear of public speaking to then come out and be, you know, a beast at what they do. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that's super dope. I think that's super dope.
Thank you.
What would you say to somebody that is just getting started in their field and they want to create a course for what they're doing, but feel like they don't have enough clientele built up yet?
So I would say, so if you don't got the clientele, so if you're looking to build a course, you don't necessarily got to have the clientele built up. I would just start working on focusing on the clientele. I would focus more on, I would actually, so even when we teach our clients, we actually teach them how to sell the program before they even create it. So that way you get paid to create the program. right? So yeah. I would think the biggest thing to get clear on is like, who is this? Who am I creating this for? What problem am I helping them solve? And then go out and sell a few. And we always recommend going higher ticket. So we recommend selling for $3,000 to $10,000 or more, and then creating a higher ticket type of model. And then sell a few. So let's just say, for example, you sell three of them for $5,000. You just made $15,000. Now you create the program with those people. And so you got paid to create the program also.
So how do you start high ticket if you feel like you are just getting started? Like if you, this is like your first venture. How do you start high ticket?
Yep. So the biggest thing is, a lot of times people say, okay, I'm just getting started. Well, maybe you're just getting started teaching online, but I'm pretty sure this expertise that you have is something that you've had for years.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, you're putting it into a course for the first time, but you didn't just come up with this expertise, I hope.
Right.
Some people I talk to people for example, they say, well, I'm just getting started. So how can I charge high ticket? And I'm like, well, how long? And they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I help people do XYZ. And I'm like, well, how long have you been doing that? And it was like 15 years. And I'm like, how are you just getting started?
Yeah.
Maybe you're just now selling it as a coaching program, but you have 15 years of expertise and experience.
Right.
So people are paying you for that.
So I think the fear comes from online. You know what I mean? I think that if you were to go up to someone and be able to sell it face to face, I think that would be something different than, you know, the online portion and trying to get the people and the sales that you want. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to those people who are fearful of the online portion of, you know, marketing and selling it to those people?
So I think that they got to understand that that's a limiting belief and it's not true. So I rarely have people ask me, but how long you been? Some people ask how long you been doing this? But that they don't ask it from a determining factor of if they're going to buy or not. A lot of people think that people care about them more than they think, or they think people are more concerned with them than they think. Like, don't nobody care about, people only care about, can you help them? Okay. So for example, I'm going to give you an example. So let's just say you're in Home Depot and you're looking for a lawnmower.
Okay.
You bought a new home, you want the top of the line stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you go down and you go in the aisle for the lawnmower people, for the lawnmowers, and you see a guy that works there. And you're like, hey man, I just found a new home. We got about 5 acres. I want to get a ride and lawnmower joint that's going to keep it A1. Can you show me? And he's like, yeah. And he takes you over, shows you like, get this one. You know, this one is good for this. I would probably go with this one, blah, blah, blah. You typically don't say, how long you been in the lawnmower game? Just based on the expertise and the confidence of him knowing what he's talking about, you take his advice.
Right.
They go to a doctor and the doctor tells them that after they analyze them and all that, and they say, hey, go get this medicine. Most people don't say, well, how long have you been doctoring?
Right.
Most people don't know how long their doctor been a doctor.
That's facts.
So it's like, it's just a limiting belief.
Wow.
People buy stuff online all the time. So if we're talking about specifically online, people buy stuff online all the time. It's like when you go to Amazon and you speak to a support rep from Amazon, you probably don't ask the support rep like how long they've been a support rep at Amazon. I mean, some people probably do, but it's like that stuff is just limiting beliefs.
Yeah, that's limited beliefs. Guys, I hope you guys are taking down those notes and getting these gems that he's dropping, because we can't stay in the limiting beliefs that we have. I think it's time to break out of that and break past those barriers of what we think in our mind and start to go out and seek the information and get the knowledge so that we can be so that we can have the knowledge for ourselves and know that we can execute.
100%.
I would venture to say that you believe it's very important to find someone who has done it already when it comes to business.
Absolutely.
What allowed you to have this mindset of learning it from someone over growing through the process?
So great question. So I've always kind of been a student, right? And the natural entrepreneur tendency is to figure it out all on your own. I'm gonna figure it out on my own. So it took me some time to get to that point. So now I don't look at how do I figure this out. I look at, okay, who do I hire to help me figure this out?
Right.
But it took a while to get there because a lot of times we're thinking, okay, I can figure it out. And a lot of times we don't value our time early on. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we value money over our time. So we'll spend a lot of our time and try to save some money versus saying, okay, how can I spend a little money to buy some time? So like when it goes back to that 10,000 hour thing, it's like, instead of me trying to invest 10,000 hours to figure this thing out, let me go find somebody who's already invested the 10,000 hours and then pay them, because now I can buy their 10,000 hours at a fraction of the cost.
That's so good. What's the best advice a mentor ever gave you about the industry?
The best advice that a mentor ever gave me. What's the best advice? I don't know. I've had so much good advice over the years. Like within what time frame? Or just in general?
I would say, okay, I'll give you two outs.
Okay.
So one before you got into your business.
Mm-hmm.
And then one when you are now, you know, in the thick of it.
So I would say, so right off the top of my head, I'm going to go with the top of my head stuff. So when I was in the streets, the biggest advice was weigh everything.
Okay.
So yeah. That was that. In a legitimate business world, it probably was, and this is a mentor I never even met.
Mm.
But he basically was like, one of the things was, you got to work harder on yourself than you do on your job. Job/business. You got to work hard on yourself.
Man.
That was from Jim Rohn.
Wow. That's so good. Okay. So we're wrapping up here. But I like to talk a lot about passion and purpose on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, you have tons of accolades. You know, you built $1 billion, you know, your public speaking. How do you differentiate passion and purpose?
So that's a good question. So I think passion, right off the top of my head without me going to Google or nothing like that, right? I think passion is something that excites you, mm-hmm. right? I think purpose is like how you impact, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we find our life's purpose, and basically our life's purpose, and this is me paraphrasing with something I learned from a mentor as well, is that our purpose, life's purpose, is basically discovering our genius and then mm-hmm. living our creative genius and then tap and then living through that, right? So mm-hmm. our purpose is how we impact people. Our passion is just like what excites us.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody could be passionate about basketball,
mm-hmm.
but they don't play basketball. They're not a coach on a basketball team. They don't own a basketball team. They don't do anything in the basketball arena, but they're passionate about it because they like mm-hmm. the game of basketball.
Yeah.
How they can turn it into their purpose is like, maybe they feel called to impact young men. So maybe they're like, it's a lot of young men who are going to college and they're getting looks in terms of going to the NBA,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really know what to do with the money.
Right.
So a lot of guys go to the NBA, NFL, end up going broke after a few years. I saw something the other day. It said today, I think Terrell Owens, when he played in the NFL, he made like $300 million. Now he's worth
$500,000. Mm-hmm.
Right. So now this person who's passionate about sports could turn it into discover his purpose through empowering these young men to how to deal with their finances to not be in that situation. Does that make sense?
That's so good. Yeah.
So passion, yeah. I would say, and I think that's my first time somebody asked me that. But yeah, I think that's how I would describe it.
That's so good. And I think that thing that I was having a brain fart about earlier, I wrote down, mm-hmm. You said, people say, there's peace after the storm. God says there's peace during the storm. Yes, that was the thing that I was going to talk about. I think that is so good because I think, and this ties into, you know, the purpose and the passion. I think while people are going through the storm, that they don't think that there's anything that they can get from it. But there's peace, there's understanding, there's value that you can take from the storm that you're going through. And after it, it may seem clearer to you, but while you're going through it, I think that's where we could take the most value and you know, have that download of information that could come to us, even though it feels like we can't.
Yeah.
It's just being still enough to hear it or see it. So yeah, I think that is so good. But your explanation of passion and purpose is so good. And I love that it is similar to Mr. Cantus Simmons.
Was it?
Yes. I think that is so, that's so, so great. I think he made it about Major League Baseball.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Listen, great minds think alike.
For sure. Let me add to the storm piece for a second. So just real quick. So I think everything is like everything is the meaning that we give. Mm-hmm. So some people can say I'm going through a storm right now because they're going through some challenging times. Mm-hmm. But is it really a storm or is it just part of the process?
Mm.
Right? So is it really a storm though? So, oh man, things ain't going the way I want to. So you automatically identify it as a storm. Right. And what you speak, you create. So you create more of that. So is it really a storm or you're just going through a challenge? You got to you just don't see your blind spot and you just one question asked to the right person to where you want to be. But maybe you're on track, right? So for example, 5 6 years ago, me and my buddy Brian and mentor and friend, we were on the way to Columbus, Georgia, I think, or Albany or something, to a presentation. This one I was doing network marketing. Have you ever been on the internet interstate riding in it or anywhere and it just starts pouring down, raining out of nowhere?
Yes.
So we was riding and it started pouring down, raining out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, what do most people do?
They get in panic mode.
They get in panic mode and then a lot of them start pulling over to the side.
Mm-hmm.
We rode maybe 2 seconds more. And you know what happened?
Cleared up.
It cleared up. You ever did that before?
Yes.
Like it pouring down raining and you ride a little bit more and it completely clears up like it wasn't even raining in that little patch.
Right. Yeah.
And I was telling him, I'm like, man, that's a life principle. Mm-hmm. I'm like, most people go through a place where it's some rain.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll pull over in it and sob in it, complain about it, tell everybody else about it, look for other people to validate it, instead of just going a little bit more where it clears up. Those people who pull over in the rain, they like, man, I'm in a storm.
Yeah.
But all I had to do is ride a little bit further and it clears up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so good. I've had that experience, but I've also had an experience where there was extreme fog. We were in the mountains and we were coming through some fog and, you know, automatically you see the hazardous lights come on and people start to slow down. And, you know, we were, like you said, riding through for 2 to 5 minutes and then out of nowhere, it clears up. And literally, I just want to encourage people. You could be going through a storm right now. You could be having, you know, some fog in your brain about what to do, but it doesn't last always. If you are able to be still, if you're able to just take some time, write it down, look up some videos and grind it out. You know what I mean? You said before, you know, if, you know, something wasn't happening, you were like, this is just a part of it. You know what I mean? So why would I be mad about it? It's a part of the success.
Yep.
You know, people instantly get mad at, you know, the struggles and the things that happen. But if those didn't happen, wouldn't we all be successful or would it even matter that we went through anything to get there? So just some challenging, you know, of your perspective, guys, to really dig down deep and understand that the storm clears up after a while, the fog clears up after a while, and it doesn't last always.
100%.
So what's one lesson in your career that's taught you a lesson in some point of your life. It doesn't have to be back then or now.
I would say one thing is that like everything happens perfectly. Mm-hmm. So that's like my philosophy on life. Everything happens perfect. Like everything that happens has meaning to it. So everything happens perfectly. So I just embrace life from that standpoint. And to your point, the lessons, I don't believe in wins and losses. I believe in wins and lessons. Mm-hmm. So you win either way it goes. Yeah. So even if something doesn't go my way or that I want it to go, I still get a lesson from it. So what do I pull from this?
Yeah.
And it's still a win either way.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, that is so good. Challenge your perspective and take, you know, that thing that you consider a loss and turn mm-hmm. it into a lesson.
Bingo.
So what's next for you?
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm just like getting warmed up. Like we're just getting warmed up.
Come on now.
Yeah. We're just getting warmed up. So we're just growing, building, developing more leaders, helping more businesses grow. Our vision over the next 5 years, we have the Phillips Arena here in Atlanta. So mm-hmm. we're looking to fill the Phillips Arena with one of our client-only events. Phillips Arena mm-hmm. holds like 21,000 people. Wow. So we're looking to fill that with our clients. And then we're going to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That holds 71,000 people.
Wow.
And these would be just clients. So that's one of our goals that we're working towards.
That's so good. You guys, stay tapped in with this mm-hmm. guy.
For sure.
He's in Atlanta. So mm-hmm. I know I have a lot of listeners in Atlanta. I'm from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of listeners from here too as well. So
nice.
Stay connected. Nice. How can people follow you?
So a couple ways. So whatever your favorite social media platform, connect with me on all of them. My name is Marquel Russell everywhere. MarquelRussell. So that's TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Marquel Russell. Tap in with me. Also, if you connect with me on Instagram, if you go to paidadplaybook.com, so if you're an expert, you're a coach, consultant, course creator, author, speaker, or you're looking to become one and you want, or a service provider, and you're looking to get more leads and clients for your business, if you go to paidadplaybook.com, so that's P-A-I-D, adplaybook.com, you can actually go get our full paid ad playbook for 100% free, and it shows you how to get 50 to 100 leads every single day that actually convert into clients. So you get it all for free, and if you connect me on Instagram, I'm Marquel Russell. Shoot me a direct message on Instagram and let me know that you heard me on this show. And then I got another special gift for you by connecting with me on Instagram and shoot me a direct message.
That's so good. Okay, one more thing. If you could leave my listeners with one thing, what would it be?
Write the vision and make it plain.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a scripture simple that enough. Says simply write the vision. It's a scripture that says write the vision, make it plain. Mm-hmm. So that you can see it. I'm not a Bible scholar. Can't
do this. Yeah.
but
listen, I know the verse. Yeah.
For sure. Write the vision, make it plain so that it's so clear that you can see. I'm paraphrasing. That it's so clear that you can see it and you can run with it. Mm. Most people don't know where they're looking to go. Right. And I always get this example in closing. It's like if you was calling an Uber, it's two things you got to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And an Uber won't pull up until you know where what?
You're going.
Where you going? Most people operating every day and they don't even know where they're going. And if you don't know where you're going, you'll easily be sucked into somebody else's vision.
So that's so good.
And once you create your own and you start moving into it, then you start to attract people into your vision to help you bring that vision to life.
That's so good.
Now it becomes all of your vision.
Yeah, that's so good. Thank you so much, Marquel, for coming on It's a Perspective.
My pleasure.
Listen, I can't wait for all that you have in store. Everyone, like I said, please stay connected with Mr. Russell. Because like he said, and like I'll say, it's only the beginning for him. He's only touched the tip of the iceberg.
For sure.
I just want to say, Mr. Russell, keep your perspective because it looks good on you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.